Translation. The secondary process of association with Maya is described here. In other words, indirect. How Mahavishnu indirectly associates with Maya. Ramadevi, the spiritual chit potency, or the beloved consort of the Supreme Lord, is the regulatrix of all entities. Regulatrix. If you look that up in your dictionary, you won't find it. It's out of this world. I never saw this word in the dictionary, regulatrix. But I did see a very interesting translation in another book. They translated this word as destiny. So you can substitute this in your book and write destiny and then try to understand how it fits together. It works. In other words, Ramadevi, Mahavishnu's consort, who is the representative of his pure spiritual energy or chit potency, chit shakti, and her sambandha, her relationship, that's her identity or her potency, but her position, her relationship is she's the beloved consort. She is the destiny of all entities. In other words, she actually unfolds, she regulates or she unfolds the destiny of all living entities, and this verse will explain more. The divine plenary portion of Krishna creates the mundane world. That means Mahavishnu, right? At creation, there appears a divine halo. Halo means effulgence, jyoti, of the nature of his own subjective portion, swamsha. This halo is divine Shambhu. Shambhu is the halo of Mahavishnu, the swamsha of Mahavishnu, the shadow of Mahavishnu, the yogurt of Mahavishnu. He's the milk, right? And Shambhu is the yogurt. Who is this? Who is Shambhu? The masculine symbol or manifested emblem of the Supreme Lord. This halo, Shambhu means Lord Shiva, this halo or Shambhu is the dim twilight reflection of the supreme eternal effulgence. This masculine symbol is the subjective portion of divinity who functions as the progenitor of the mundane world, subject to the supreme regulatrix. In other words, to the supreme, he creates or he injects the living entities according to their destiny in this world. And he injects them. And the destiny is fulfilled through the agency of Ramadevi, who expands as Durga. The conceiving potency in regard to mundane creation makes her appearance out of the supreme regulatrix. So the person, in other words, the person who's regulating or controlling or executing this whole Ichha Shakti or will of the Lord is Ramadevi. And then she's the via medium or the intermediary between Mahavishnu and the material energy or Maya, who is actually an expansion of Ramadevi. The conceiving potency. She is Maya, the limited non-absolute, apara potency, the symbol of mundane feminine productivity. The intercourse of these two, which means Maya or Durga and Shambhu, brings forth the faculty of perverted cognition, the reflection of the seed of the creative desire of the Supreme Lord, which is the translation for the Sanskrit. Kama bijam mahadare. So, first, maybe I'll explain some of these terms in the verse, and then we'll go to the purport. So, the first thing is the secondary process of association, or the auxiliary process, as it's said. Because it says this verse describes that secondary process, so that or the indirect association. In other words, the direct association of Mahavishnu with Ramadevi is for just pleasure, enjoyment, right? The primary activity, or it's called the Mukhya Vritti, of the Supreme Lord is to engage in pastimes with Ramadevi, the spiritual potency. We heard that yesterday. The material creation is also a lila, or a pastime of the Supreme Lord. Although we are caught up in this, quote, lila. Off-Broadway drama years ago, Stop the World, I Want to Get Off. Stop the World, I Want to Get Off. So we might say, Stop the Leela, I Want to Get Off. This Leela is called Samsara Chakra. Samsara Chakra is like in the amusement park there, whatever, they have the merry-go-round. You go around and around and you go up and down, but you get nowhere. That's a merry-go-round. You sit on a little mechanical horse and the horse goes up and the horse comes down. Little kids ride on these and it goes around in a circle. But you really don't go anywhere. When you get off the merry-go-round, you're in the same place where you started. You haven't gone up, you haven't gone down, you haven't gone forward. You simply wasted your money, wasted your time. The samsara and our whole sojourn in the material world is simply wasting time. So stop the old Mahavishnu, stop the lila, I want to get off, I want to get out. So now the glance of Mahavishnu is understood as his spiritual potency. His glance of Mahavishnu is his spiritual potency, Ramadevi. So she carries the nature of that glance to Shambhu, and she entrusts it to him. Mahavishnu's glance consists of two aspects. I said this yesterday. His Ichha Shakti, willpower, and his Kriya Shakti, which is his Kriya Shakti. Sometimes there's one verse in the, I think it's Shvetashvatara Upanishad, describes the unlimited potencies of the Lord. You know that verse. Parasya Shaktir Vividaya Shruyate Sobhavaki Jnana Bala Kriya Cha. Right? Sobhavaki Jnana Bala Kriya Cha. So the Parasya Shaktir, the unlimited potencies of the Lord, are sometimes broken down into three. Right? This Sobhavaki Jnana Shakti, Bala Shakti, and Kriya Shakti. So here Kriya Shakti is functioning along with Ichha Shakti. So Kriya Shakti includes within it, Kriya Shakti means, like we say, Bhajana Kriya, right? Bhajana Kriya means the actions of Bhajan, the works of Bhajan, right? Adoshvada Tata Sarvasanga, Bhajana Kriya, Narta Nivriti, Tato, you know, Nishta. This is our life, Bhajana Kriya, at least it's supposed to be. Less Bhajan and more Bhajan. Less eating and sleeping and more hearing and chanting. So this Bhajana Kriya, this actions of Bhajan, this force of Bhajan, this is Kriya Shakti. And the Shakti, the Kriya, we get purified by practicing Bhajan. So Kriya includes in it time, the time factor. We're doing our Bhajan in what? In time. And we're supposed to be doing it all the time. Kirtaniya Sadahari. Right? Lord Chaitanya tells us. So Sadahari means, Sada means all time, Sadakal. Morning, noon, and night. So this is the Kriya Shakti. So the Ichha Shakti, Kriya Shakti come together. But Kriya Shakti includes the time factor. And Ichha Shakti, of course, is his willpower. And this glance, Mahavishnu's glance, which is a combination of these Shakti. So Shakti means, as soon as you say Mahavishnu, Shaktiman, as soon as he's expressing some activity or some motion or some work or some action, that's the Shakti going. Shakti is working. So what Shakti is working? Ramadevi. So how is she working? Well, it's a very complicated and complex thing, but basically Ramadevi is doing it. She's working there. So she's carrying the Ichha Shakti, the willpower, the desire. She's fulfilling the will with carrying the Ichha Shakti, and she's carrying the Kala Shakti, and she's carrying the Kriya Shakti, which includes Kala Shakti, and she's carrying the Jiva Shakti. She's carrying it all. And that's all in a glance. And she's also within the glance. This is a little complicated, but this is how it's described. This is what the verses are talking about. So she's carrying the jivas and all the living entities. All activities of the Lord are manifested through his various potencies. That verse from Svetashvara Upanishad explains that. Ichha Shakti is the Lord's willpower. The original will of the Supreme Lord, what is his original will? What is his original his personal will in the whole matter is that he wants the jivas to go to the spiritual world. And only for this does he create the material world. So the jivas can get facility to fulfill their material desires, finish their business, and go to the spiritual world. So that's a little point. So now it mentions Shambhu. A little note about Shambhu. At the time of Mahavishnu's glance, Shambhu is manifested. Quote, the divine halo, or the shadow of the personal body of Mahavishnu. He's the shadow of the personal body of Mahavishnu. Mahadev. Mahadev appeared last night, right? Mahadev appeared in Vrindavan. And that in the Maharat, Gopishwar appeared there and danced. Got the name Gopishwar. It's very good. He's the divine halo, for a specific function. The difference between Shiva and Mahavishnu is like yogurt and milk. Everyone's heard that. Shiva receives the jivas and the time factor from Ramadevi, then he impregnates Durga, the Adhara Shakti, or Maya, the accommodating chamber, or the womb. Shiva and Durga combine under the direction and by the will of the Icha Shakti of Mahavishnu. So ultimately, the Supreme Lord Mahavishnu is responsible for creation. So here it says here in the verse, around the 7th, 8th line down, 9th line, the masculine symbol. So I think that's pretty clear. But the masculine symbol is the linga, which will be discussed in the next verse more directly. It's not in this verse, the word linga is not there. Yeah, it is. Talingam. Talingam Bhagavan Shambhur Jyoti Rupa Sanatana. And Yoni. It says, Yayoni Sapara Shakti Kambija Mahadare. So Dare means like Dhanodara, means holding the bow, or Murli Dara means holding the bow. And this is in the last line of the verse. Kama, Kamo Bijam Mahadare. So the great desire, the great Kama Bijam, the great desire of the Lord is being held by the Lingam and the Yoni. So what is the Lingam and the Yoni? Lingam is the male genital and the Yoni is the female genital. And that's the symbol is the, you know, the Shiva Lingam, which you see, everyone's seen, it's obvious what it is. And then below that is the womb or the Yoni. Yoni means the female. It means that represents the receiving chamber, the accommodating chamber, the Adhara Shakti, the womb of material energy, the female, the Durga. That's the Yoni. Then the masculine symbol is the Kriya, what do you call it, the generative power, the creative power, of which is embodied in Lord Shiva, who's fulfilling the desire. So the Kama Bijam, the transcendental desire, last night was so, in this, they had the Maharas Darshan, and the Leela troupe. And so they came out when it's before Maharaj. This person comes out with a bow and arrow. You know, he's dressed up like a king and he comes out. And it was Kandarpa Raj. Who's Kandarpa Raj? You ever hear of Kandarpa Raj? Panchasarai? You ever hear of Panchasarai? Kam, Krodh, what is this? Sight, sound, touch. Means five arrows, the arrows of sight and smell and taste and sound and touch, and, you know, the five arrows. So these are names for Cupid, lust personified, Kamadev, Kandarparaj, Panchasarai, different Ananga, different names. So he's walking around with his bow and arrow. And it's nice because when you know all these things, even you don't even know the language so much because it's Brajbas in Hindi, you know some language but not maybe everything, you understand all. Here's Kandarparaj, and he's going, he wants to shoot his arrows, and he wants to infect the world with lust. And he has a whole discussion about, with Narada Muni. Narada Muni comes out, and they have a whole discussion how, I mean, what little I understood is, he says, Kamadeva says, Kandarpa says, I control everyone in the universe, everyone, Brahma, Shi, I control everyone. No, no one's outside of my power. And Narada Muni, when he hears that, he says, no one? Narayan, Narayan, Narayan. Narayan is beyond your power, you know. What is Narayan? He says, oh, Narayan, Krishna's come and Krishna's here and his Rasa Leela tonight would be his Divya Maharaj dance and you can see that and you'll see, you'll be defeated. Huh? I'll be defeated, we'll see. So then, you know, the whole thing. So then Rasa dance starts and Krishna's dance, so many Krishnas are there and so many, you know, and wrestle. So then Kandarpa, he's going around with, with his arrow, and he has his bow, and he's looking like this, and he wants to shoot Krishna. But Krishna's, he's Kamadev. He's a transcendental Kamadev. He's Madan Mohan. Because when Cupid came on the stage, another name for Cupid is Madan, right? Madan. So he said, what's your name? Madan. I am Madan. I am Kandarparaj. I am Panchashrai. He said all these names. Remember, he said, I'm Panchashrai. I'm Kandarparaj. I'm Mananga. I'm this and that. And Narada Muni said, I'll stay. Namaste. But actually, he showed respect to Narada Muni. Because he's a king and Narada Muni is a sage. So even though he showed respect to Narada. But so then he's thinking, okay, now, and he saw Krishna's dancing. He's okay, now I'm going to finish him. So he was like that. Krishna was with Radha, and Radha in the center of Radha. And then they stopped, and Radha and Krishna stopped, and they went over to the like really humble. And then, Krishna just took his flute, he just very hardly touched Kandarpa with his flute, and Kandarpa went, and he fell down, he just went completely dead. He just destroyed Cupid, Kamadev. And then this next scene comes out, Rati is his wife, the wife of Cupid is Rati. Rati means attachment. So he shoots the arrows and you get attached. So that represents his wife, that's his wife's name, Rati. So then she comes all covered over, chaste wife and everything. She comes running, my husband, what happened? And then she understood, he's been defeated by Madan Mohan. Madan Mohan has defeated Madan. And then she picked up her husband and took him off the stage. So this Kamabija in this verse, it talks about, Kamabija Mahadare. Mahadare, holding that desire, that great desire. But the real desire of the Lord is that we come out of this material world, out of Mahavishnu, out of that position, and come into the spiritual world, so that we can enjoy the transcendental loving relationship with the Lord. So that's what Shambhu's whole purpose is all about. So this masculine symbol is a Shiva Linga. Supreme Regulatrix is Ramadevi, who, knowing the desire of her master Mahavishnu, entrusts the jivas and time factor to Shiva. Therefore, Shiva works under the direction of Ramadevi and Mahavishnu. In other words, Ramadevi, like the husband might say, look, I want this to happen. He wants something to happen. So she'll regulate it. The husband mentions something to his wife. He says, okay, I'll take care of that. I'll do whatever necessary. He says, okay, we should go on a vacation this weekend. Or, go to Bombay for the weekend or whatever. So then she'll, and you take care of it. So then taking care of it means she opens a safe, she takes out some money, she goes to the travel agent, pays the money, gets the tickets, comes back. She does so many things to prepare everything so they just go for the journey, to fulfill his will. So in the same way, Ramadevi, she's the regulator, she's the supreme regulator carrying out the will of her husband. And part of regulating that or carrying that out is knowing that her husband will not contact the Maya, the external energy. She expands herself. An expansion of herself is actually Durga. Durga is an expansion of Ramadevi. So, okay. So now, the Mahatattva is also mentioned in the purport. Talks about. I'll read the purport. Then we'll talk about that. Sankarshan, possessed of creative desire, is the subjective portion of Krishna, taking the initiative and bringing about the birth of the mundane world. So in this case, Sankarshan refers to the expansion of Sankarshan, who is the Purushavatar Mahavishnu. Lying in the cause of water, as the primal Purusha Avatar, Mahavishnu casts his glance towards Maya, the limited potency. Such glance is the efficient cause of mundane creation. This means, it's the original cause, the basic cause, the cause which brings about the effect, whatever. Efficient. Like we have efficient and immediate. Sometimes these terms are used in Prabhupada's books, efficient cause and the immediate cause. The efficient cause is the actual cause. An immediate cause may be a cause in front of our eyes. For example, the 4-year-old child, he crawls out into the street, and the truck comes by and runs him over, kills him. So what is the cause of his death? The truck. Very smart. And so that truck killed the child. Everyone agrees, right? Yeah, the truck ran over the kid. Kid died, ran under the wheel of the truck. So the immediate cause of the kid's death is the truck. But is there any cause beyond that? Some people will say no. That's it, the truck. The cause is the driver. Some people say the cause beyond that, or before that cause, or another additional cause is the driver. Is there any other cause? Any other cause? The baby. The baby has something to do with it too, right? It's not, you know, he's not, everything has a cause, so the baby has a lot to do with it too. He's a jiva, or she, or whatever, and did so many good and bad things. So let's go through the cycle of time. Let's go through the time machine and go back to the last life. Oh, look at this in the last life. This baby was a truck driver. Oh, Haribo! And this baby, what? Baby doesn't look like a baby. Big, strong guy. Big, hairy arms. Wow, you know, he's a big truck driver. So this little baby, oh, this little cuddly baby, like 3 years old. He's a big truck driver, driving for, you know, some Indian trucking company. He was completely popped out on Diplomat whiskey, right? And he's driving down through Mathura, little kids out, you know, and zip, runs over a little kid. Just keeps going, Haribo. Didn't even notice. A little drunk. Then next life, he becomes a little baby. He's crawling on the street in Mathura, and a truck comes, zoom! So that is called the efficient cause. The efficient cause. The original cause is the child. His own karma. Someone said karma, that was also correct. But karma, you know, requires a person. It's a person. His karma. So in this purport is something about efficient cause or immediate cause. So the immediate cause of creation is pradana and mahatattva and da-da-da-da-da and all these different things. But the efficient cause is Mahavishnu, his will, his icha, his shakti, his power, his desire. He wants these living entities, you know, I guess he's tired of having them inside him. He wants to, okay, that's nice. We had this material lila and it was fun, but no, I don't want this lila anymore. I want you to come out of this, to the higher, you know, higher lila. So this is his desire. In other words, every exhalation, inhalation, the living entities come out of Mahavishnu, go in and come out. But all why that's going on, every time he exhales, his desire of that with that exhalation is, hey, why don't you guys, you know, get serious, you know, and get out of this material energy and go to the spiritual world. And then, oh, no, okay. Then again, back and forth. So, that's what's mean by efficient, right? Such glance is the efficient cause of mundane. Shambhu is the symbol of masculine mundane procreation. It's a dim halo of the reflected effulgence. He's a dim halo. I mean, not a full halo. He's a dim effulgence because he contacts the modes of nature. And the other full, the dim means like the lights become like soft, and that means dim, not full light. Like when there's a power cutback in Vrindavan, looks like you have a candlelight in your wall there, a little candle. Instead of 100 watts, it's like 5 watts. That's called dim light. So dim reflection, because the full reflection of Mahavishnu is the Jyoti, the Brahma Jyoti, and there's no modes of nature in the Brahma Jyoti. It's total Brahman, total Satyam, Brahma Satyam. So dim reflection is Shambhu. So he contacts this material energy. It is this symbol which is applied to the organ of generation of Maya, the shadow of Rama, or the divine potency. So Mahavishnu's shadow is Shambhu. Rama's shadow is Durga. Durga, who is Durga? Durga is the shadow of Radharani. Who is Mahavishnu? Mahavishnu is the shadow of Sankarsana, the shadow of, you know, or expansion. Da, da, da. You know, right? You understand how the progression Radharani, then the Kayavyuha Asusakis, and then the queens of Dwarka, then the queens of Narayan's consorts, Lakshmi's. Then you cross over, Ramadevi is also Lakshmi, Narayan's consort. Then you cross over into this world, and Durga, then so many wives of demigods are there. And then you have, Krishna, then Balaram, then Sankarshan, and Mahasankarshan, Vasudeva, Aniruddha, Pradyumna. And from Mahasankarshan, then you have Purushavatar, Mahavishnu, and Garbhadaksha, and Shiradaksha, and But it all begins with, it's just the divine dance of love. It all begins from there. Right? Everything is within the circle. This is what they'll tell you if you go to these different, psychology groups and stuff. Everything is within the circle. Yin and the yang, every culture, everything. So that divine circle is Radha and Krishna, personified. Supreme divinity, supreme love power, supreme love power, Mahabhav Shakti, and supreme love incarnate, Rasaraj, Sri Krishna. The first phase of the appearance of the mundane desire created by Mahavishnu is called the seminal principle of Mahat. It's the Mahat Tattva. Mahat Tattva means the truth of Mahavishnu. Mahat Tattva means the truth of Mahavishnu. Or the perverted cognitive faculty. It is this which is identical with the mental principle ripe for procreative activity. The conception underlying it is that it is the will of Mahavishnu who creates by using the efficient and material principles. Efficiency is Maya, or the productive feminine organ. The material principle is Shambhu, or the procreative masculine organ. Mahavishnu is the Purusha, or the dominating divine person wielding the will. Pradhan, or the substantive principle in the shape of mundane entities, is the material principle. Nature embodying the accommodating principle, Adhara, is Maya. The principle of embodied will bringing about the intercourse of the two is the dominating divine person. In other words, Durga and Shiva come together by the will of Mahavishnu. The subjective portion of Krishna, the dominating divine person, in other words, the first Purusha, who is an expansion of Krishna, the manifester of the mundane world. All of these three are creators. Who are those three? Mahavishnu, Shambhu, or Rama, and Rama and Durga, or Durga. Durga, Shambhu, and Mahavishnu. And Mahavishnu together with his Shakti, Rama. He could say all four, but the one or two. Mahavishnu is two. Two and one. So all three, all these three are creators. Durga's a creator, Shambhu's a creator, Mahavishnu's a creator, along with Rama. The seed of amorous creative desire in Goloka, which is a way of saying the Sanskrit, the seed, Kama Bijam. Bija means seed, karma bijam, kama bijam, punya bijam, papa bijam. So this is kama bijam. The seed of amorous desire, the seed of loving desire in Golok is the embodiment of pure cognition, pure spiritual energy. The seed of sex desire to be found in this material world is that of Kali, etc., who are shadows of the divine potency. In other words, the love in this material world is a perverted reflection, an upside-down reflection of the pure love of the spiritual world. Krishna's Kaviraj compares material love to iron, loha, to iron, black, dark iron. And Krishna Prem is compared to gold. Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi, Gauranga. The golden avatar, the prema avatar is Lord Gauranga. He's golden in color. And he's embodying the prema of Radharani, Radha Bhav, Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi. So this is Radharani. The former, although it is the prototype of the latter, is located very far from it. In other words, the Krishna prema, which is the prototype, the original, the origin of material lust, or you can say material love, is far, far from, it's located far, far. Golokara Premadana Harinam Sankirtan. We can cross that far, far distance from the land of iron, from the age of Kali, from Kali love, Kali kam, Kali lust. We can cross over this world of lust through the waves of the Sankirtan, the Prem Sankirtan. Cross all beyond the coverings of the body, beyond the coverings of the mind, beyond the coverings of the universe, and penetrate that vast, impenetrable layer of darkness surrounding this material world with the pure light of the soul and the pure light of prema, and enter into the divine effulgent realm of Krishna prema and bhakti ras. That can happen by the holy name of the Lord. So that is our good fortune. We receive the holy name of the Lord. The seed of the mundane sex desire is the perverted reflection in this mundane world of the seed of the original creative desire. The process of the appearance of Shambhu is recorded in the 10th and 15th shlokas, which we will get to pretty soon. A couple more points about, I'll read about Mahatattva. Mahavishnu, via Shambhu, carrying his glance, is cast upon what they call the pradhan aspect of maya. And the time factor and the living entity are mixed up in that glance. And then the time factor, the willpower, they manifest as a mahatattva. First is when the pradhan contacts the glance of the Lord, it manifests as a mahatattva. The mahatattva is when the ingredients in the pradhan become manifest for material creation. Like the three modes of nature, false ego, the 24 elements, which we study in Sankhya philosophy, earth, water, fire, etc. Mahatattva is called Sadguna Brahma. It's Brahma full of different qualities, right? Different kinds of qualities. And then there's an analogy that's used there. There's some analogy Acharyas give. That Mahavishnu is like an electric powerhouse. Right, electric powerhouse. And electricity is Ramadevi. And the copper wire that's conducting or carrying that electricity is Shambhu. And the electrified object is Durga. There's also expansion of Ramadevi. But they play these different roles. There's Mahavishnu, his glance, with the time factor and the willpower, Kriya Shakti. And living entities, Jiva Shakti, all these Shaktis mixed together, they're transported, you know, the energy or the glance is transported from the electric powerhouse through the wire. That wire is Ramadevi. And then that electricity, that energy altogether is Ramadevi. She's carrying that. She is that glance. And that's conducted, and that glance is conducted into the accommodating chamber, into the womb of material energy, which is you can say, the object which is electrified, which receives electricity, and that is Durga, which is the... there's a note about... another note I have. The pradhan is Prakriti Maya, Durga or Yoni. Right? So that pradhan is, you know, the electrified object. And then things happen, right? When pradhan contacts the time factor and the Kriya Shakti and the Jivas, then this differentiation happens. Then it starts to... you know, manifest all these differentiations in Sad Brahma, Sad Guna Brahma, all these different qualities, such as, you know, the modes of nature and ego and all these things. So, and Shiva is the glance of Mahavishnu, I said. So the supremacy of Shiva is subordinate to Mahavishnu. Shiva has no independent initiative. The form of Shiva is a transformation of Mahavishnu and totally dependent on him. Shiva is called the Lord of Time, and he holds a Trishun, which represents time, past, present, and future. And by the will of Mahavishnu, he unites with Durga Devi, a shadow or expansion of Brahma. Any questions? Shiva is like another... It's just like Ramadevi, you know, Ramadevi's having an intimate, transcendental, spiritual relationship with Mahavishnu. Then Mahavishnu wants to have a relationship with another energy of his, which is dormant, which is actually another form of hers also. So her, that dormant form, that Maya Shakti, is also Rama, but it's called Durga. So then, when he has that desire, but he's not going to directly contact, he manifests a separate form of himself for intimate pastimes. So it's not really like a Vatsalya Ras, it's still a Madhurya relationship. So he manifests this aspect of Shambhu, then she, knowing that, she partially acts as Ramadevi to take the glance from Vishnu, then along the way, she's also Ramadevi, then she on the other side, as the electrified object, she becomes Durga. So then Durga and Shambhu combine. You know, the wire, the electric wire touches the object, right? Carrying electricity. Electricity is Ramadevi, right? And the wire is Shambhu, and the object that's being electrified is Durga. So when there's contact between Durga and Shiva, Shiva who's the wire, who's carrying all the Ichha Shakti, Kriya Shakti, Kala Shakti, and Jiva Shakti, there's that intimate contact is between the male principle, Shiva, the wire, the conducting wire, and the female principle of the Yoni, Lingan Yoni, who is Durga. So that contact is not Vatsalya, right? That's Madhurya. So Shiva and Durga have a Madhurya relationship, just like the relationship between Mahavishnu and Rama. Shiva is not like the son of Rama. Shiva is like the husband of Rama in her form of Durga or Parvati or Chandi or Vaishnavi or so many, you know, Kali Bhairav or so many names that are there. Some other questions? Someone over here? There's many different, many Vaishnavas worship Lord Shiva, many Shaivites worship Lord Shiva for many different purposes and many different forms. Shiva has many, many unlimited forms. Raghunath Das, the six Goswamis and Raghunath Das, they worship Lord Shiva in the form of Gopishwar Mahadev, and Chakaleshwar Mahadev, Nandishwar Mahadev, Kameshwar Mahadev, Bhuteshwar Mahadev. Different Shiva lingas you'll find in Vrindavan were worshipped by the six Goswamis, especially Rupa and Sanatan and Raghunath Das. And their prayers are there also recorded in Sanskrit. So their angle of vision and their motivation, desire should be understood. And if we want to have some relationship or worship, we can follow in their footsteps. Rupa Raghunatha Padi Hoivi Akuti. I should be eager to follow in the footsteps of Rupa and Raghunath. We don't concoct the angle of vision or concoct the method of worship. Bhajana Kriya comes from Guru. Ado Sharatata Saru Sangha. Saru Sangha, Bhajana Kriya. No Saru Sangha, no Bhajana Kriya. Saru Sangha, you have Shiksha Guru, Diksha Guru, teach you how to do Bhajana Kriya. Don't make up your own Bhajana Kriya. Because you go bhojan, not bhajan. Your kriya will take you to bhojan. Your kriya will not take you to bhajan. Bhajan means bhaj. Bhajan means worship. Worship means love of Radha and Krishna.
Advaita Acharya and Mahavishnu. This is just on these two points. Advaita Acharya and Mahavishnu, because this Advaita Acharya is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And there's a chapter about the Panchatattva as you begin Adi Lila. So there's a section on Vaitacharya and talks everything about Mahavishnu. So basically Vaitacharya and Mahavishnu are one, are both one. One sees, Mahavishnu is seeing Nimitya Maya, and the other Vaitacharya is seeing Pradhan Maya, which means that when Mahavishnu is looking at Nimitya, Nimitya Maya means Yoga Maya or Ramadevi, that's Mahavishnu. But then when he looks at his sleeping potency, or what we say, the Pradhan Maya, or Durga, then he becomes Advaitacharya. Mahavishnu assumes two forms to create the material world. Mahavishnu is the efficient cause, and as Advaitacharya, he is the immediate cause. Advaitacharya is, you know, Shiva, or the glance is Shiva. We're talking about Shambhu. The Shambhu means also Advaitacharya. They're the same. Advaitacharya is the immediate cause. Mahavishnu and Advaitacharya are the same person who cast two glances at the same time, because you have, you know, it's like we have two eyes with one glance, but Mahavishnu has two eyes with two glances, you know. Like sometimes some people have one eye that goes like this, you know. But Mahavishnu is not exactly like that. But one glance is Advaitacharya and the other glance is Mahavishnu. So he's like, you know, imagine like a man has ability to look, you know, well, it's kind of a funny joke. But in one eye he looks at one girl, and another eye he looks at another girl. one affects the immediate, the ingredient aspect of Maya, which is Pradhan Maya. In other words, that's Advaitacharya. When he looks at one glance, that's the glance of Advaitacharya, looks at Durga or Pradhan Maya and affects her and, you know, agitates her and creates, you know, the creation ensues from there. And the other glance is Mahavishnu himself glancing at, it's called Nimitya, Nimitya Maya. Nimitya basically means no Mitya. Everyone's heard this before, right? Jagan Mitya, Brahman Satyam. This is what the Mayavadis preach, that this Jagan Mitya, this material world is false. So Nimitya means no falsity, there's no materiality. So Ramadevi, there's no materiality, but her shadow is Durga, so she's considered Pradhan Maya or Mitya, Mitya Maya. It's called Pradhan Maya. It's so technical things, but if you want to get technical. The second, the immediate cause is Mahavishnu's glance. Sankarshan or Balaram is the original source of Mahavishnu, is active in Goloka Vrindavan, and Advaitacharya has active pastimes, not in Goloka Vrindavan, but in Goloka in Shvetadvip with Lord Chaitanya. So Mahavishnu himself, his pastimes are, of course, in the causal ocean, his own waters, the Karna ocean, which is kind of like neither here or there. It's on the, you know, you can say the edge. And then, but in his feature as Advaitacharya, he was also the same person. He enters into Goloka Vrindavan, at least into the quadrangle, or that quadrangle which is called Shvetadvip, but then there's another Shvetadvip, which is the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, which is part of Vrindavan, which I told you, it's like another room of Braja Gokul. But Mahavishnu has no pastimes directly in Goloka Vrindavan. Ordinary persons say that Advaitacharya and Mahavishnu are two, but actually they're one person with different functional aspects, just like Srimati Radharani and Durga. Srimati Radharani and Durga are one person with different functional aspects. Just like you have, you know, Subhadra and Durga, or Mahamaya and Yogamaya, are one person with two different functional aspects, one functioning in the Maya, and one functioning in the spiritual dimension. When working for the material world, Srimati Radharani is seen by the materialist as Durga, but Durga is none other than Srimati Radharani. In the same way, when you see Mahavishnu, when he sees towards Pradhan Prakriti, he is called Advaitacharya. And when he looks towards Nimitya Maya, he's called Mahavishnu. Nimitya Maya means Ramadevi.